This morning's sermon text is taken from Genesis, chapter 12, verse 1, and it reads as follows. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you." Now in this morning's sermon, we're going to be studying the story of Abraham, pulling valuable life lessons away from it, and really just learning about who he was and what he went through. And to do this, we're going to read Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9, just to kind of get our sermon text in its complete context this morning. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, "Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still, toward the south. Now, as I previously said, in this morning's sermon, we're going to cover the story of Abraham. And we're going to see how his faith was tested. More importantly, how it was built upon. And how his life, as well as the life of all mankind, was changed. By doing this, we'll be able to relate to his struggles, as well as his victories. And we're going to look at three important aspects. Number one, Abraham following God's directions. Number two, his great faith. And number three, the challenges that we receive from his example. So starting in point one, in the early mentioning of Abraham in the Bible, we're told that his original name is actually Abram. But as many of us know, God changes that name for him. So we can almost think of the changing of Abraham's name, as well as his purpose in all of life, to almost be a kind of rebirth process. Now to learn about Abraham's rebirth, we can first look at what we know about his early birth and a bit of his lineage and background. Genesis 11, 26 through 32 states, "Now Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. This is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in his native land, in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarah was barren. She had no child. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years. And Terah died in Haran." Now this is the first time that we see Abram mentioned in the Bible, and in about six chapters after that, his name changes to what we know him by today, that being Abraham. Now many people ask, why did God change Abraham's name? Well, we see now that the word Abram is actually translated to mean exalted father. But Abraham means father of a multitude. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Excuse me. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. That passage is taken from Genesis 17, 1 through 8. And we ask, why would God do that? Why change his name? Why make this covenant? Well, you see, God seems to do that a lot in Scripture. And he changes names, especially when he's making a major change in the person's life. For example, Jacob became Israel. Simon was renamed Peter. And Saul was transformed into Paul. Interestingly, if we turn from the front of our Bibles all the way to the back in Revelations 2:17, it says, He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. So even we can get a new name. So I hope that none of you here this morning are too attached to your earthly names, because at any moment, God could change it. You never know. But in the three people's lives that I previously mentioned, Jacob, Simon, and Paul, there was also like a rebirth that took place. They became different men than they were when they had their older names. So what became different about Abraham? What did God do with him? Well, Abraham once was just a normal guy. He was a shepherd and a husband, and he tried to live a life pleasing to God. But then one day, God shows up, tells him he wants to do something special with him. A covenant, or as we can now think of it, a kind of contract in a sense. That's what this passage in Genesis is all about. I will make you a great nation, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now Abraham, he followed God's direction. And when all was said and done, he became one of the most integral people in the Bible. In the Old Testament, we read the phrase Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob quite a bit. And Abraham's grandson Jacob was renamed Israel, and he actually became the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. So literally, after making this covenant with God, Abraham became the great-grandfather of the 12 tribes of Israel. So when God said that he would make Abraham into a great nation, Israel comes to mind. All because Abraham followed God's direction. In referring to Abraham, Genesis 15:6 says, And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Now Abraham's faith brought him God's blessings upon his life, and this is what our second point covers this morning. Abraham lived his life in a manner similar to what's pointed out to us in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, where it reads, For we walk by faith, not by sight. This is the example given to us by Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But they now desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Hebrews 11:8 through 19. Abraham's life and actions are completely outlined here. It says he went out, not knowing where he was going. And he did just that. He obeyed unquestioningly the commands of God, from whom he received repeated promises and a covenant that his seed would inherit the land. Now, in Judaism, the promised offspring is understood to be the Jewish people descended from Abraham's son Isaac, born of his wife Sarah. And Abraham was, let's just say, advanced in years when his son Isaac was born. But God told Abraham, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly." Genesis 17, verses 1 and 2. Well, God's plan came to pass, as it always does. Now, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, "God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me." She also said, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse his child? For I have borne him a son in his old age." Now, both Abraham and Sarah cared for their son as he was truly God's gift to them in their older years. But God challenged Abraham's faith later in the book of Genesis. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 3 reads, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac." And Isaac his son. "And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him." Genesis 22, verses 1 through 3. So here we see yet again Abraham following God's instruction, his direction, where to go. But it says in Genesis 22, 11 and 12, "But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' So he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Now, the genealogy of Jesus can actually be traced back to Isaac, and Abraham's near sacrifice of Isaac can almost be thought of as a foreshadowing of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Jesus actually mentions Abraham in John 8, where it says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. That's taken from John 8, 56 through 59. Now in this verse, right at the beginning of it, we read that Abraham was glad. He was glad to see Christ's day, because in that moment he saw that his faithfulness and his righteousness had paid off to anything he could have possibly believed. After being challenged time after time and following God's direction, he became a part of God's divine plan. So this leads us into our third and final point this morning, the challenges that we receive from Abraham's example. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Galatians 3, 6 through 9. As Abraham's faith was challenged, so will ours be. And we must ask ourselves, can we fare as he did? Could we leave our family, have our name changed, and all this at 100 years old? Could we follow God's directions, no matter where they took us and what they had us do? Well, friends, regardless of your answer this morning and whatever doubt is in your mind, just remember, that is the faith that God required of Abraham. That is the faith that we should aspire to have. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, "I have made you a father of many nations." In the presence of him who believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, "So shall your descendants be." And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Romans 4, 16 through 22. Brothers and sisters, let us follow Abraham's example. But we need to remember that we have a gift that he did not. We have his story. We have his example, and more importantly, we have the events that came to take place after Abraham's righteousness. Proof that God's promises, God's direction, if heeded and believed in, will lead us toward his heavenly glory. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. Psalms 37, 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." God watches over the righteous, as he did with Abraham. And he directs us to do the same, to stay righteous, to live our lives by faith and not by sight, to go where he tells us, that in return we will not fall to sin, but instead we'll spend eternity with him. "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it." Matthew 7, 13. God has directed us. He has done so using his son, using Abraham, using his word. And he wants us to use those resources to direct others as well. So for those of us in hearing this morning, we should now realize that we need to direct the world to see what's in God's word. to direct the world to see the forgiving power of God's grace, because only then will the world have the directions that they need to find the cross and to build their faith on the ultimate promise of God's sacrifice of His one and only Son for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14:6. Abraham played a part in this, and we can too by doing what he did. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, you have blessed us with the story of Abraham, showing us, Lord, that you made a promise, a covenant with a man. Lord, he was tested, but he followed. He followed the directions that you gave to him. And Lord, you've directed each of us in our lives to follow you, to follow your direction, to heed your word, and to make you the centerpiece of our lives. Heavenly Father, we are humbled and we are blessed. And we thank you for that which you have given to us. Lord, not only the story of Abraham, but Lord, the forgiveness of our sins by sending your one and only Son for us. We thank you for that, Lord God. And we pray all of this through Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll now offer one another the sign of peace, and that will be followed by a brief communion devotion.